You are the founder, the instigator of,
yes.
of the Philadelphia Jazz Project. Yes. Tell me how you came up with this idea and how you got it started.
It's a weird long story, but many years ago, in the 1980s, I was here at WRTI as started out as a graduate student and then kept my show because nobody wanted to be on the air at midnight on a Friday night. So I had my show for quite a few years. And during the course of the time that I was on the air, there was a gentleman that would call myself and my colleagues and ask about the music. And he was about the same age. He was a student, too. And it turned out to be David Haas,
okay.
the philanthropist.
The Wincode Foundation.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he credits us, our community, for having introduced him to the music and the musician. And so we jump maybe 30, 25 years later, and he contacts me and says he's doing an event, and he's presenting Wynton Marsalis at the Kimmel Center to do a lecture discussion. And asked me if I wanted to go. And I wasn't really excited about going, but he urged me to come. So I did, and it was actually a really powerful piece on the value of arts education and tying it to the history of America and to the history of jazz. It was really beautiful. And so he asked me, would I be interested in developing something to kickstart or reinvigorate the music in the community, to create or recreate or attempt to create the energy that we had in the 80s. I was here at Temple at Tyler School of Art.
Okay.
And the music is part of my muse. So I've always been connected to the music. And when I came here to WRTI, myself and Richard Nichols and Ludwig van Trick, it was a bunch of us, we became a community, a shared information, and grew. We learned a lot. We became our own school. I think for all of us, it kickstarted our development.
Please tell me what you'd like to do with it.
I see the Jazz Project as a defibrillator. It hits you, you know, try to wake up the community. Jazz internationally has been struggling. But the truth is jazz struggled from its birth. When you think back historically, it was inappropriate. It was inappropriate. And in fact, many of the when we think of black musical innovations that have happened in America have all been inappropriate.
Subversive roots.
Absolutely.
Is how I would think of that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, jazz is really considered, you know, the great American invention. If that's the case, you know, what would your approach be?
Well, my thinking is that because, and on all of the projects that we work on, my push is for mastery. Jazz is really focused on mastery. It traditionally was that mastery that you would get from apprentice to master on the bandstand. Now that has been modified so that mastery comes through the educational institution, which is a little bit different, but still, it's still a mastery-focused art form. So I direct young people toward this sense of mastery, whether they're an R&B artist, a rock artist. We meet all kinds of young people. But the focus is that jazz is a music about mastery. And if you understand that mastery, you can excel in whatever you do. So that's sort of what we're after. There's no hiding. There's no nothing. It's just you and what you can do. And at the end of the day, I think more of us will be taken by that if we're given that. If we're given the opportunity to just see a talented person perform, we are blown away by it.
You're trying to create those opportunities.
Absolutely.
Is that it?
And particularly as many of them as we can do that are free to the public, that's possible. Because I think that making it so that it's not a burden on someone's pocketbook makes it easier for you to engage them. Most products, when they start out, they give you a free taste, you know, so that you can get into it and understand what it is. Well, we're almost starting with jazz as if it was being born again.
Is that how you're thinking of this?
Absolutely.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.